This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies, innovatedcompanies.com. You guys got to meet Randy Green, hear from him, and our new friend Mike over at Adams Smokehouse as we learned a little bit about their business and their support of Two Birds on a Bat. Of course, innovatedcompanies.com is your first and only landing spot for anything you need, residential, commercial, or industrial when it comes to construction, heating and cooling, electrical work, and now the new plumbing division, which is up and running over there. First-rate dude, no doubt about it. We had a great time with Randy over at Adams Smokehouse. And again, special thanks to our hosts over at Adams Smokehouse. Just a tremendous job. And these guys, without fail, have some tremendous barbecue. I highly recommend it. We look forward to getting back over there. And again, I hope that everybody enjoys themselves and has some ribs, because that was my favorite. So moving forward, want to welcome in my good friend Josh Potter from Art City Media, who's joining me today and filling in for Steve-O, who's obviously not with us.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
And everybody's waiting to hear from this guy, so let's just bring him in on the m4byyachty.com hotline. Benji Molina, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Ready to go.
First and foremost, I'm not even going to beat around the bush. All of our listeners, all of our followers are anxious to hear from you and get an update on your brother. The news obviously was not good, and everybody was a nervous wreck at first. And not that the news is great now, because we're going to be without our guy for a minimum of 4 weeks. But that being said, we've seen some pictures. I know you've answered no less than probably 1,000 texts. I know you were kind of laughing about how popular you got down at the stadium when you walked in on Sunday. But all that aside, how is Yachty doing today?
Well, actually, I just talked to him this morning, or text with him, and he's doing fine. He obviously in pain. He's going to be in pain for a while. He's under medication, of course. The good thing is he's Yachty, man. The good thing is that he's a fighter. He's a strong guy, you know, and that tells you when the next day I got to his house, and I was expecting him in a wheelchair or somebody helping him walking, or that's what I was expecting. And all of a sudden I see Yachty walking on his own power, saying hi to his family. For me, that was something else. I mean, for me, that was amazing to see that, because I knew he was going to recover really, really quickly. So with that being said, he's still in pain, so that doesn't take the pain away. So he's just resting at home right now with the medication, letting those things heal. But he'll be fine. I think he'll be back. He'll be back normal. He'll be back strong. He'll be fine. I mean, it's just that it sucks that it has to be that long, you know, and everybody's, you know, obviously want him out there. But it's time. It happens to every team. Once in a while, when you see a Kershaw going down for a month, or you see a Cueto going down for 4 to 8 weeks, you see that Robbie Ray is out. Things like that, you know, so main guys going down. So it happens more than people think. It's just that we don't want it in our team, right? So, but he's doing fine. He'll be fine. He'll recover.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. You mentioned quite a few guys there that are awfully good players, awfully important to their team. You could argue Yadi, is without question as important to his team as any player. And again, I the big thing is the catching, right? The handling of the staff, the fact that he has become an offensive threat in the lineup over time and become a stabilizer, you know, clutch hits and the mentor to the guys and almost like a safety blanket. So I could even argue that his loss is much bigger than those others. I mean, let's face it, if it's a first baseman or second baseman, you're going to put somebody in there that you're going to get some production from. And this is no knock on Pena. This is no knock on Carson Kelly. But it's not even remotely close, and it's proven over time. This whole thing, it hurts. That being said, I got to ask you an honest question. And I just want your first I'm going to start with this. I want to get this out of the way. I had a friend text me this morning from Springfield, Illinois. And he says, the sports talk radio up here says Yadi wasn't wearing a cup. Is this true? And I've heard this now from 1,000 people. My assumption is they are assuming he didn't wear a cup because if he wore a cup, he couldn't possibly get hurt, which is – I'll let you address that, and you can get as specific as you want. But, first and foremost, would you like to confirm to our listeners whether he was wearing a cup or not? And we'll start there.
1,000%, I just told you off the air. 1,000%, 1,000, not 100%, 1,000% of catchers wear cups. There's not one catcher in Little League. There's not one catcher in high school. There's not one catcher in college. There's not one catcher in any baseball that you see around that is willing to risk this thing. It's not willing to risk it. He's wearing a cup. I can assure you that. I can put my money on it. I could do whatever you want. 1,000% of all catchers in wherever you are, wears cups. This thing is unfortunate. We cannot avoid it as a catcher. We get hit, Jimbo, we get hit as a catcher. And Josh, we get hit as a catcher 6 times at least a game that you guys don't even know. Whenever I set my mind in an autopilot thing, and I said, if I get hit six times, I'm happy. I go home happy. Now, when I get hit 7, 8, 9 times, I'm like, dang it, man. You know, I got really mad. But I was really okay with 6 because that was the average for me. 6 times a game you get hit and people don't even notice. You get hit on the toes. You get hit in the inside of the thighs. You get hit on your knees. You get hit on your chin. You get hit on the foul tips. I mean, on your forearms, on your shoulders. I mean, you get hit everywhere all the time. You just don't notice because we go right back at it. And people just, you know, turn their heads and here we go again. So, but for people out there to say that Yadi wasn't wearing a cup and it's a sports show, I want to know what kind of sports show are you? Because if you're a sports show, you should know that he has to be wearing a cup, buddy. I mean, come on, seriously?
Yeah, that's just, it's asinine. I mean, it...
You couldn't. Here's what I'm going to say. I guess you could not wear one if you wanted to, but you would be the dumbest human being on the face of the earth. And if anybody's out there, I didn't wear a cup. Then have another beer.
Yeah,
is all I can tell you because I can think of a couple people in the world that there's no way they leave the locker room without one on. Catchers and goaltenders. There is no way they're leaving the locker room without one on. So
no way in the world.
Again, then this is silly. I mean, you know, we're just dispelling that, number one. So number two, if you'd like to talk a little bit about, I mean, I guess without getting into detail, because, God, I don't know that we need any detail, just how serious it is that even a cup can't help you in the right instances. I mean, if you want to try to touch on that a little bit, I guess.
A cup is a protection, right? You know,
Yep.
Let me tell you this, guys. A cup is just to protect you. It doesn't protect you from getting hurt. It protects you from the hit. You imagine he got hit with a cup. Imagine if he wasn't wearing a cup. Now where he would have been probably dead, because I guess that's what he gets you, right? It sounds harsh, but I didn't mean it that way, in a mean way. I just meant it like, imagine if he wasn't wearing a cup, right? So we wear a cup, and it hurts like this. Imagine if we weren't wearing one. Now, let me tell you this to the fans out there. You know, every single time we block a ball and it hits our chest, everybody's like, wow, that was a great, great block. And we're proud of it. I'm proud of it every time I block the ball. But it hurts like freaking crazy. And sometimes it gets you a bruise. All right? Are you following me?
Yeah.
Chest protector, okay? We have a chest protector, right? And when sometimes you wake up and you have a bruise on your chest. Okay, here we go. We have the chin guards. Those are hardcore front chin guards, right? Like a little hard piece in the front of your chin. And we get hit there, and don't you see catchers jumping around? And that's a protection. That's a protector, like a cup. It's the same way. If you haven't played baseball, and try on a catching gear and let somebody riffle one into your chest or hit you with the ball in the shin guard, and it still hurts. It will hurt. Imagine us. It's the same thing. It's just that you don't see us jumping around too much because everybody wants to get the game going right away. Hey, come on, you ready or what? You ready? Okay, let's go. You're still in pain, and you have to go back for the next pitch. That's why you guys don't notice. That's why you guys don't see it. But guess who notices it? Us, the guys who get hurt all the time, the guys who get hit all the time. That's what I'm saying. People that don't know about our position should never talk about it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to spend too much time on catcher's equipment, but I am going to say, I think part of it is, and you know, I don't know that anybody that this is on purpose, but you know, you watch catchers take ball after ball after ball off the chest and the leg and even the face mask, and they never even – it's like it didn't even happen. So I think you start thinking that this equipment protects you and you don't feel anything. So I would assume that people think, well, the cup –
they were worse.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They were worse before. Now we're lucky to have more protection here. But before, man, it was hard. But – anyway, Jimbo, it's not about talking too much about the gear. It's good for the fans to understand, right?
Yeah.
It's good for the fans to know that even with our gear on, we still get hurt. We still hurt. It's not because you're wearing a mask and the ball hits you in the mask. Foul ball. And your head's spinning, man. Your eyes are hurting a little bit. Your side of the head is hurting. I mean, it doesn't matter. It still hurts. It's just that people don't, you know, they don't put too much in it, you know. They don't, it's not like if a hitter get hit with a curveball in the head, they take him out just for precautions. When a catcher gets hit on a foul ball in the head, you got to keep going, unless something happened like Yadi last year and he got concussions like that. But if it's a normal foul ball, they leave him in. I never understood that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think we think these guys are superhuman to some degree, and you know, you cover something up for lack of a better description, and you think that it's, you're not going to get hurt. I mean, again, this is
you hit this same ball to every catcher in the league, and they will be in the hospital, Jimbo.
Oh yeah.
That's how simple you can put it out there for the fans.
It's really just bad luck. It's really just bad luck.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you put every catcher in the minor leagues and every catcher in the big leagues, every single one of them, and they get hit like this, and they will go to the hospital. Something will happen because they're not used to a hit like this. You know what I'm saying? So it's not – it's unfortunate that we have Yadi going in and losing time and stuff. We don't want that. That's why it hurts so much to us, because he's our guy. But this could have happened to anybody, and it can happen to Peña. It could happen to Kelly. It could happen to Contreras. It could happen to anybody out there, anybody that plays catcher. It could happen.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Peña. I want to talk to you a little bit about Mr. Peña. The Cardinals, obviously, we talked a lot about it. A big sweep of the Cubs over the weekend. I think a variety of reasons why it was big. You know, let's face it, the rivalry is fun. You're trying to take back your division. You know, there could be, you know, maybe not that the players give this much thought, but a lot of fans had, you know, hey, you know, yeah, they beat up on a couple teams that aren't very good. Let's see how they do against teams that are better. And everybody thinks the Cubs are the best team in the division. So for them to win three at home is good. You know.
But it wasn't good enough, right?
Yeah, well, not good enough because some guys aren't hitting.
And we were.
Yeah, got lucky. That being said, you bring up Mr. Peña. I had tweeted out yesterday, and I had said something during the game, you know, and the ESPN announcers have taken enough grief from Cardinal fans. Some stuff I understand. I think some of it's overblown, but that's just me. Maybe I don't pay attention enough. I actually enjoy A-Rod. I think he's really smart. He knows the game. He knows what he's doing. I like the segments where they talk to guys about hitting and stuff like that, but that's me, and you don't have to.
It seemed a little drawn out, though.
Yeah, but I mean, but they're trying to grow a baseball audience. This thing's not targeted to Cardinal fans, whether they like it or not, and I get that.
If we say one more thing about A-Rod, I'm hanging up. All right? I'm throwing up in the bathroom, and I'll call you guys back.
You've had enough A-Rod talk.
I don't want to hear it.
Well,
no A-Rod.
So here's the thing, though.
That's your opinion, and I respect it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But here's my thing. This is what I'm going with. They completely missed what was a major moment in the game, and that's in the eighth inning with a runner on third and two outs. You know, Hicks throws that sinking pitch similar to the one he threw to Yachty, and Peña gets over, like, somehow blocks it. I mean, it's not easy to block a 102-mile-an-hour sinking fastball to your inside, okay? And he blocks it, and then they get the out, and the run doesn't score. They don't mention it. I don't see much. And I mentioned it, and it's interesting. And then you hear about Peña being at the hospital, one of the last guys to leave, and getting guys together in the clubhouse. Is he kind of is this guy maybe not getting any publicity, which he probably doesn't want any, but this guy sounds like he's kind of a big part of this team, even though he fills a specific role, which is the role of backing up Yachty, which means he doesn't play much.
Oh, you're right, man. Those are the guys, most of the time, the bench players and backup players are the one who build the clubhouse. Not every time, but most of the times they are. In this case, you said it, we mentioned it in our booth, in our radio show, in our radio transmission. How do you say that? Transmission, right? Is that how you say it?
What are you trying to
when
say?
When we call the game.
Yeah.
The Spanish video booth.
Broadcast. Broadcast.
Broadcast. Yeah. Yep. That's the better word. But we mentioned it a million times when he blocked that ball. We're like, man, he's just saved the run, and that could have been the game-winning run. And not only that, Jimbo, imagine I'm a former catcher, so I'm going to notice every single thing on him, right? So I did it. But I know I get what you're saying. Not many people notice. Not many people. I bet you Yachty did. I bet you Kelly. I bet you Kelly did. I bet you Mike Matheny did. That he saved those runs, and that's why we had that win. And not that it's not the main reason, but I bet you they noticed because they know the position. But these guys that are talking up there, they get caught up in other things, and they forget that there's a lot of little plays that make you win. Did anybody notice the great play that Baez did before Fowler's home run? Did everybody notice that play that Baez did, and he threw it bat up to first base? If he throws it on the money, we don't have that walk-off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those little things, a lot of people don't notice that happen. And they're like, oh, the walk-off. Yeah, the walk-off happened. It's great. It's awesome. We love it. But a lot of baseball people will notice other things too, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and again, it was an interesting weekend. We had some guys step up and win some games that at times have not been at their best. I mean, let's face it, Dexter Fowler has not had a great start to the season. Neither is Carpenter. Both of them had a couple of big hits in the game. Colton Wong seems to be playing like we would like to see him play. Yeah, his defense looks good. He's had some loud outs. You know, I'm happy with Colton Wong. So I think we're getting there. I think the bullpen one way or another at times has looked shaky, but you can't argue the job they did Sunday night. I think we're heading in the right direction. I really do. I think the loss of Yachty, again, this is just an opinion. This is a baseball opinion. You know, I don't know that you needed any. I mean, you know, you can rally around losing Yachty, and it's the Cubs, and we're going to go in there, we're going to do this, and you're riding the high. I think the loss of Yachty kind of sets in like it did last night. I think it's like, okay, you know, now that the Cubs have left town, here come the Twins. No Yachty.
Wait. Well, let's stop right there, Jimbo. I know you understand, but I'm talking about the fans. I mean, that game lasted for a long time.
Right.
And that was a lot of innings. That took a lot of energy on the boys. They went home. It was really late, and they have to wake up, you know, and play this game. They feel it. They're not tired. I'm not talking about being tired. I'm talking about the feel of it, the feel of the how you feel after a game like that. It's exhausting. It's not an excuse either. It's not an excuse. I'm not trying to bring that up. What I'm trying to say is it happens. You feel kind of tired. You feel that way. And then you go out there and battle. And all of a sudden, you have a minor league guy coming in and fill in Gant, which he's been in the big league. He's been pitching good. He have done a good job before. And after the first inning, he did good. But you have all these things all together. And that's what you can have these games coming up, right? I mean, it's not because any reasons everybody wants to do out there. Let's see how they come up today, and then let's see how they play out all these things. Remember, rivalry brings the extra out of you, and especially on that game, man, that lasted 14 innings, and then they get home by two or three. I mean, it's hard, man. It's hard the next day for anybody, for any team. So I just want to throw out there. I just want to throw that out there because it's not easy, and I'm not making any excuse. It's just not easy.
Yeah, it's good. Listen, the whole thing, you know, I'm just past the point of freaking out over one game and things that go on within a game. They had to approach that game. Obviously, I mean, I thought Ricky Horton did a great job of talking about the way that they were going to have to approach this game. My guess is they probably had about three guys they could really count on in the bullpen. They probably had about three guys that they could use but would prefer not to. They probably had three guys that were absolutely off limits. So, hence they had to try to get 100 pitches out of Gant, even though he did not start well. It's never good to throw that many pitches in an inning anyway. So, you know, your day's not going to be real long after you've stressed like that. So, that being said, the bottom line is this. Okay, we lost. Game today. Moving forward, I got to say, though, we have people freaking out already because – Carson Kelly's not playing today and Pena is. I had told somebody had asked me about it, and some people were like, hey, look, it's a day game after a night game. Not everybody plays day games after night games like Yachty a lot of times. Plus, you know, you're working him in. I'm going to tell you, and again, I'm not dogging him. He's young, and he's obviously talented, and he's a high-ranked prospect for a reason. Number one, I don't know that he can hit. We're going to find out. Number two, I didn't think he played real well last night defensively. I saw some poor receiving. I saw a couple of strikes we didn't get because he received the ball improperly. The passed ball in the first inning was awful.
Yep.
You know, that being said, that doesn't mean he's not good. My point is it doesn't mean he's not good. It just means I don't think Pena is as bad as everybody thinks he is. I think he's pretty good defensively. And I want
somebody to tell me – I want that guy or somebody, whoever – to tell me why they think Pena's bad. That's the first thing. I want to know what those whoever thinks Peña's bad. I would love to have him in front of my face and have them tell me why did they think Peña's bad. Because I haven't seen one thing bad about Peña yet. And I've been watching this kid since winter ball, okay? So I have a long time watching Peña catch. Not just these few freaking games. No. I have a bunch of hours watching this kid play in Dominican and here, and I haven't seen anything wrong yet. And now we have guys seeing they don't like him or they don't see anything right about him or they see things wrong about him. I want them to tell me what they seen wrong about Peña because I haven't seen one thing yet.
Well,
he was brought here, Jimbo, for backup duties. The main guy goes down, so your prospect down there is hitting 230. It's not doing so well. So who are you going to put? It's very simple. It's not hard, guys. Think about it. I know they want Kelly. If Kelly was crushing it in the minor leagues, I can get that. I could argue that. Okay, Peña, he's a backup. All right, here we go. Okay, Kelly, go in. That's fine. But he was struggling down there, and like you said, catching yesterday, he didn't look right. He didn't look right. So guess what? You saw it. Mike Matheny saw it. Mike Maddox saw it probably. And guess what? He said day game after a night game. So, I mean, I don't understand why people have to freak out over any of that. Because first of all, I don't see anything wrong about Peña. I want somebody to tell me, what's wrong about Peña? He's actually a very smart kid. He knows how to call the game. He's the shadow of Yadier Molina. The shadow. He's always behind him. He's always asking questions. He's always in the meetings. He's always watching video with him. Who else do you want out there, man? This is the best, after Yadi, the best closest thing that we have to have him out there.
Well,
I don't know. I haven't seen anything wrong about him. Don't know.
Well, here's what I would say. From and I'll give you a fan's perspective, right? I mean, I know you're coming from a – this sounds almost like you're coming from a coach's perspective, which you have coached catchers at that level. So my thing would be this. My guess is it comes from the fact that, A, the one thing you can say, I don't know that Peña is a very good hitter, which is fine, but I don't know if Kelly is either. So I'm going to negate that. I think the biggest problem is this. Let's face it, Kelly's been sold to us. He's the second coming. He's the number one prospect in our organization. He's the number two catching prospect in baseball. Bop, 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 right? That's what we're told, right? Well, so was Colby Rasmus,
yep.
Right? So was Colby Rasmus, right? Five tools. Guy's going to start in center field.
So was Derek Long.
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere. And again, I want to preface this. I think Kelly will be okay. I don't have an issue with it. But my point is, and I would play him a lot because I think now's the time you find out. But the reality of it is you played him last night. It's a day game. I don't have a problem. I don't understand. I really don't.
It's a day game. It's a day game, and Carlos Martinez, he you know, obviously the language barrier, they get along better. Kelly being a new guy doesn't mean he cannot do it, like you said. He can do it. He can play. He's a good player. He just wasn't doing great in the AAA level, but he can play. Kelly can play. I'm just saying, like right now, I want whoever says to me that Peña, you know, whatever, he's bad or whatever, I want them to come up to me in my face and tell me what they think that he's bad on him. Because I haven't seen anything, Jimbo. I haven't seen anything. The hitting, of course, I'm talking about the catching. The hitting, of course, he's going to take him a few times. And I seen him hit, too. When he plays every day, when he gets a lot of at-bat, a lot of repetitions, he can hit. He can hit, too. It's just like you want him to hit right after he's been sitting down for a week, and then right after you want him to get three hits? I don't think that's going to happen anywhere. But that's what I'm trying to say. Hitting. That's all right, but I'm talking about the catching. I haven't seen anything wrong yet, so you know.
Well,
that's my opinion.
Well, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I got to be completely honest with you. Who catches is the least of my concerns right now. I mean, I again, I did see what I saw last night.
It should be somebody that's trustable. Somebody that could relate to Yadi, that could kind of come close to what Yadi was doing, right? Because that's what we want. We want consistency in our pitching.
I agree.
And we want that. It's very important. It's very important.
And I would agree. And like I said, you're not going to replace Yadi. All you're going to do is man the position for a while. So my thing is, you know, I like what I've seen from Pena. I really enjoy the fact of finding out how important he is in the locker room and all this kind of stuff. I think it's all great. But at the end of the day, you just can't replace Molina. Somebody's got to fill the void for a while. You know, I think what we're going to get is a 2 to 240 average out of that position. And if as long as they can call games and play defensively, I'll live with it. My biggest problem right now is that, you know, we got a couple guys that we keep going, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and it ain't coming. So that's what I told people. I'm like, listen, I'm not. While I don't have an issue,
you want me to guess?
You can guess. I mean, it ain't that hard. It's the main guys. The main guys got to start getting this shit going. This is getting old.
There's a couple. Fowler doesn't worry me. I think he's been hitting the ball pretty good to the gaps and deep, and he's been hitting good even though he gets his strikeouts and stuff, but. He's been hitting the ball hard. That's what I'm trying to say. Most of the times, kind of. But one guy is just struggling, man, and he's not even hitting the ball hard. He's just swinging, you know, he's getting weak fly balls after weak fly ball and then ground balls and stuff. So we'll discuss that after.
The bottom line is this. I'll say it. I tweeted out today. I have no issue with Pena playing over Kelly, but there's no way Carpenter should be playing over Wong today. If you want to get Garcia a start, left-handed bat, and the people that want Jerko to play every day, don't we every year say Jerko got exposed by playing too much? Okay, so let him sit occasionally and put him in. I got no problem. Like, and if you played Jerko, I wouldn't even care. But my point is, in one breath, they overexpose him, whatever. I don't care what they do with him. But my point is this. If you're going to sit him and play Garcia on a day game after a night, especially with him, he just came back from DL. I got no problem with any of that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to convince me that a better lineup today consists Matt Carpenter than Colton Wong. And I'm not buying it.
With Colton Wong swinging the bat the way he is. You don't want – remember this, Jimbo. As a manager, you don't want to call your player. You want to keep them hot. I have talked to many managers. I have talked to even Chaito Okendo, even Okendo. I talked to a lot of managers out there, even both Bochy. I talked to Socha. I talked to Joe Mann about this. I don't like him so much, but I even asked Terry Francona. And I heard good things about him. I even asked him. I asked him, everybody. I said, hey, listen, what happens to your lineup? I don't want, and they all say the same thing. I don't want to get somebody cold. I want to get everybody hot out there in the lineup because they're hot. Whenever they get cold, they'll tell me. They'll show me they get cold. So that's the main reason why you don't want Wong in the bench today. So he's swinging the bat really well. He's squaring balls out, playing great defense. He's hot. He is hot. That's one of the reasons why you want him in the lineup. Forget about Carp. Forget about that side of the Carp or whatever. In this case, Carp is the guy who needs to sit. That's fine. But forget about Carp. It's Wong who's hot, and he's playing great defense. No, you don't want to get him cold, and that's why I'm with you. He needed a play.
Well, and that's what happened with Tyler O'Neill, too. We sat there and brought him up while he was just absolutely on fire in AAA.
Hot at AAA don't mean shit to me. Sorry. That don't mean nothing to me.
But it goes along with sitting the bench whenever you're hot.
You're not going to call him up and sit Bader. Nope. Not going to happen. No way.
I'm just saying Bader's the whole thing was pointless
in
general.
Bader had been good for you up here. You brought up O'Neill to give him a chance. He got a few chances. It is what it is. I mean, that's the way it goes for 90% of everybody that gets called up in the big leagues, okay? Listen, if you didn't have Harrison Bader, it'd be different. Harrison Bader did nothing wrong. Harrison Bader, every time he got an opportunity, played well.
Oh, I'm
so
on.
When, so
yeah.
when, that's right. So when your guy goes down, you play Bader. Okay, it's that simple. I understand, and everybody. See, this is the problem of everybody thinking that some guy that hits 280 at AAA and hits 30 home runs is going to come up here. And again, I hope they do. Go look it up. Very few do. Very few do. It very few do.
But we do. We want to. We want
yeah, heck
to
yeah.
Well.
I want him to hit 40, 50.
Yeah. I want them to do well. I want Kelly to do well. I want Pena to do good. I want Bader to crush the ball. I want Wong. I actually want Carp to start hitting because it's going to help our club, and we understand that. But we're trying to keep it real here. We're trying to keep it real. The meaning is, this is what's happening right now. This is what's happening right now. And the happening right now is Carp shouldn't be in the lineup, in my opinion, right? This is just my opinion. And it's because Wong is a better defender, once. And two, Wong is hot and Carp is cold. Why is it so hard for us to for people to understand that? I don't get it. Yeah, Carp gets paid a lot, but aren't we willing? Aren't we trying to win a game? Because I know Holland gets paid $14 million, but would you want him right now closing a game? But just because he's $14 million, no, you don't want him right now because he's still working through, you know, staff and he's still struggling a little. You want him to be right when he gets that position, and Carp's not right. Holland's not right. When you have to play him, yeah. When you have to pitch him, yeah, that's fine. But that's what I'm saying. When they're not hot, you try to keep them away a little bit until you have to do it. And that's what I'm saying. But Wong being hot and not in the lineup, it gets him cold. It gets him cold.
If, you know, it, I guess in the end, I tweeted this too. Josh, I don't know how you feel about this. I've said this 100 times. There's no other explanation than the money.
Absolutely, 110%. There's nothing. Literally, I said it the other day too. I think if Colton keeps doing what he's doing and gets the at-bats that we all think that he deserves right now and playing time that he deserves, he might win the freaking gold glove. He might win it.
But he might.
He is playing unbelievable defense. But he might not get that opportunity because of the plate appearances, the innings that he receives because Carpenter makes too much money. Well, okay, he makes a lot of money.
But he might not get to do that because the manager or whoever gets him cold.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
All these factors jump into it, and it's just astonishing. I mean, the plays that I've seen Colton make in the last probably month and a half, Javi Baez is good and all that, okay, but Colton Wong is trumping the shit out of him. I mean, Colton is playing unbelievable baseball over there at second base, and I don't.
And he's hitting the ball harder.
Yeah, exactly.
The bottom line is this: we got some guys got to start hitting. And if people think this is a Cardinal thing or a Mike Matheny thing, it's not. Just look around the league. Just look around the league, people. Every team has some veteran player making a bunch of money in the lineup. Okay, you don't have to look very far. And they just keep running them out there. Everybody loves Terry Francona. Okay, guess what, guys? Edwin Encarnacion has basically been awful, and he plays every game. Jason Kipnis has been awful.
Lately, he's picking it up.
Picking it up. I know.
We're hoping for guys to do, right?
Well, yeah. Okay, and that's my point. So and that I guarantee these managers think that their proven players are only going to pick it up one way. And that's to keep playing them. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's part of it. I get it. They've earned that there's some earning that goes on in there. But it's not just him. Jason Kipnis has played for a year and a half and hasn't hit. He even put him in the outfield last year in the playoffs. I don't understand that. But whatever. It's not that I don't think Terry Francona is a bad manager. I just love how he would do things so differently than Mike, and they basically do a lot of the same things. Joe Maddon, same thing. Kyle Schwarber plays left field, leads off, hits 200. I mean, you know, so my point is these guys all do things that really, at the end of the day, they don't make sense to us. Heck, they don't even make sense to guys that played like Benji. I mean, how many conversations have we had with Benji? Benji's like, well. But the bottom line is this. just because we don't agree with what they're doing doesn't mean it's wrong. They have a reason for what they do. Whatever that reason is their reason. And again, it might be, I think more of this guy than I do this guy. I see him every day. I know you see this, you see that.
I'll tell you this, Jimbo. I bet you 100% the reason that Carpenter and Fowler and Encarnacion and Kipnis and, you know, the guys that are struggling, the reason they are playing is because the manager and the coaching staff believe that in one day is you know, they're going to start raking again. That's just how it is. They don't see the long. They don't see how long it's been. They don't see how long they've been struggling. They don't see the swings. They don't see how weak the fly balls are coming off their bats or whatever, striking out or whatever. They don't see that because that's who they count on from the beginning, from the start. They count on these guys. So every single game for a manager, it's like a pitcher, like Holland in this case. He's struggling, right? So the pitching coach is going to be telling Mike, he's going to get out of it, man. He's going to get out of it. And they talk about it all the time. Yeah, he's struggling right now, but we got to pitch him because he's going to get out. At some point, he's going to be nasty again. That's how they think. That's why you see Encarnacion playing. That's why you see Kipnis playing, because all the managers think alike. Same way with Joe Madden, you know, with Rizzo. Rizzo's not doing much. You think Rizzo's going to sit? No. Joe Madden's going to say, no, at one point he's going to come out and hit. At one point he's going to come out of that and he's going to start raking for us. We need him out there. And that's how they think. You know, unfortunately, that's how they think. They all do.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, man, because like I said, you sit here as a fan and you're like, you know, this is what I see. We don't see what they see. And
it makes it hard because the bench player is doing good.
Yeah, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, I know that it's a Cardinals show. Cardinals are Cardinal fans. The reality of it is that this goes on everywhere, right, wrong, or indifferent, it does. And it's just something that we're going to have to deal with. You know, it's nice, though, that the weather's turned. We've got nice weather at the baseball game, so hopefully that's not an issue anymore. I want to remind everybody, too, with the weather turning, go see our man Mark Marcuso down at Arlington Greens. Course looks phenomenal. All it takes when it heats up like this is a nice rain shower or two, some thunderstorms. It greens up that course real good. They do a tremendous job down at Arlington Greens. Again, go see my buddy. Here's a great day for you. If you want a great day, pretty simple, okay? You go to Adam's Smokehouse, right? And you get you some early lunch, some ribs, some of that macaroni salad. You know, I know you guys were turkey with that sauce, that special sauce on there. I know you guys like that. Hey, Josh is over here shaking his head. I loved the ribs. I liked the hot salami too. I thought it was good.
Oh yeah.
You know, the only thing I forgot to get, I forgot to get a pork sandwich. That's my favorite. But hey, we're going back, so I'm good. But go see my man Mike and Frank and them. Tell them that the boys from Two Birds, you heard about them there. Go down there and eat. Actually, let me take that back. I was going to say go eat and then go play golf. If you go to Adam's Smokehouse, you ain't playing no golf afterwards.
No, you're
struggling.
So go
play golf. Go play golf. Go see Mark Marcuso. Go play golf. That's probably the smart thing to do. Go see Mark Marcuso at 200 Arlington Drive in wonderful Granite City, Illinois. See my man Mark Marcuso. Tell him you heard about us on Two Birds on a Bat. Tell him that you heard him give his assessment of the Cardinals on Two Birds on a Bat a few weeks ago. We're going to get him back on, though, because he loves the Cardinals. And I think he likes sitting at the game having a cocktail or sitting out in front of the golf course watching on TV and having a cigar. But at the end of the day, tremendous opportunity to play some wonderful golf. Arlington's golf course. Tell him you heard about him on Two Birds on a Bat. Again, Adam's Smokehouse, you guys will not go wrong with that barbecue. Tremendous. Moving forward, as I sit here and think, okay, you know, we had a couple of off days. It looks like just came out. A lot of people questioning the roster. Why do we continue to play with a short bench? You know, Bud Norris obviously was going to be unavailable for a few days. Tommy Pham dealing with something that's more than just if he sits a few days. It looks like Tommy Pham did some tests today and came out good. He actually asked to play. The medical staff decided. look, just take another day today. There's an off day tomorrow. That'll give you an extra 2 days. So that's why he wasn't DL'd, is that he's going to be back for this upcoming weekend series, which they need him. Let's be quite frank. That's it, I guess, in the end. And when you're talking about DLing a guy for 10 days versus, you know, missing him for a couple of games or three, that's a hard thing because you're short for a three games, but then you weigh whether or not that guy is important enough to live with that because you need him so bad for the upcoming games. That's a tough thing.
That's why you saw Carlos Martinez and Mikolas Pinchet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing, and I know it's happened other places. I don't know. I tell you what, we knew they were going to do this with the bullpen too, this up and down and up and down and up and down. But and again, here's the thing, guys. I assure you, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure. I know L.A. did this last year, and I only know because it was highlighted that they did it, and I went back and looked, and I was shocked at how many guys actually pitched for them. I think Houston kind of did it too because they didn't have very many starters throw much more than 150 innings last year, to my knowledge. So a lot of teams are doing this. So my point is I think Cardinal fans are in a little bit of shock right now because we've never seen it like this. So I think it's going to take a little getting used to because people are going, where's Flaherty? Where's this guy? And it's like, well, he can't come back up because he's got to stay down for 10 days. And they're like, well, they could have put him on. They could have put so-and-so on the D. And it's like, well, you would have had to have called him up when they put him on the DL. And when they put him on the DL, he wasn't available. And they needed to bring a guy up that could throw because they got guys out there that can't. See, this managing of a bullpen is more about just saying who you're giving the ball to. You're managing
who's fresh.
Yeah, who's fresh, who needs a day, who came in and said. So there's all this going on, and I'm not excusing some of the things that we've seen because let's face it, at the end of the day, we've seen some things that make us go, what is going on? But at the end of the day, some of this stuff is a product of things that are going on that we know nothing about, and that's fine.
Yep, it is. Game size spot.
You know, it is what it is. But, you know, I just – I'm just at the point
and
now.
And Jimbo, what the short bench do when a guy like Pham can't go, now you have three guys. I mean, because Pham is there. It's just for a pinch hit duty or emergency outfield, emergency anything. But he ain't playing. So they're not counting on him today. So only if an emergency or a game like the other day or something. But they're not counting on him. So it makes it even tougher, man. It makes it even harder to have three-man bench, man. I mean, I don't know how that works. I haven't given a hard thought about it yet. But, man, just thinking about it quick, it's really tough for the manager to do these things like this with three-man bench, man. And it's a lot of big decisions. Sometimes you want to pinch hit somebody and you can't. And then all of a sudden you see the same guys going out there, but it's a reason for it, that those reasons are inside. So as fans, you know, I know you're going to see it different, but you have to be smart. You have to let them work. Let them do the job, you know?
Yeah, in the end, we got to get some guys on track. I think some of the pitching has come around.
Hey, but we have to talk about how good we are, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
like 10 or 20 minutes on how good our freaking Cardinals are doing. I know we lost last night. I can give them that. You know, they've been playing their butts off. They have like 6 wins or 5 out of 6 or something or something like that. But damn, man, I tell you, I'm excited. You don't even know winning those 3 games against the Cubs and how well they're playing as together as a team. You could see they pick each other up out there, Jimbo and Josh. You could see that, man. You can see that fire out there. We beat the Cubs. Now we got to keep going. I know that. It's a long season, but, man, I'm excited. I tell you.
It was awesome to see, you know, let's face it. Number one, you can't be any happier for, like, Colton Wong. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a
– weren't you excited about Tui hitting 90?
Oh, how about Tui? You know, I don't know if you're – that's the guy that I said going into spring training. I'm like, listen, if you got to wait a month for somebody, you know, this is when the whole what are we going to do with – listen, if you're going to have to give somebody a month on the job, Tui had done it before. Now, I don't think you're not going to convince me or anybody. Now, listen, I'm not saying he was hurt, quote unquote hurt. But listen, when you are good because you throw hard and you're not throwing hard, that's going to be a problem for anybody. Number one, that DL stint, whatever. Maybe he just had a sore, dead arm. Who knows?
And he probably didn't say anything because he knew that he needed to go out. He needed to prove something this year. He doesn't have any options left. So you know, he knew that. Yeah. And you hear it all the time. You know, you go on the DL. I mean, some players have this philosophy of, oh, if you go on the DL, you're going to lose your job because somebody is always going to come up and steal it.
But if you're a young guy, that's for real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely.
So good. You know, I get it. And so for the bottom line is after, you know, you do something one time, it's like, And then once you start going out there a couple times and it's recurring, it's like, okay, there's a problem. Because, again, when you throw 96, 97 and you're throwing 91, 92, something's wrong. No matter what anybody, something's wrong. So I'm happy for Tui because I'll tell you what, he looked good.
Yep.
He looked nasty.
I'm happy for Myers.
Mayers went out and threw, what, three innings? Solid.
Yeah, Myers, he's impressed.
Solid, man,
I like that role. Now, see, the problem is, here's the problem, guys, not these guys out there listening. People need to remember, when a guy throws three innings, he needs 3 days of rest minimum.
Yep.
Okay? You don't. Now, I always laugh about this. You can't tell that to Bruce Sutter.
At least two.
You need at least two.
Maybe at least one, but
yeah.
You're honest, two.
Well, my point was is you at most are probably going to throw every 3 days doing that. So that's a tough thing to have, and but it's nice. So I like that. Now that's where the shuttle thing comes in. The problem is you lose him for 10 days.
That's not
so
a role, though.
Yeah. Well,
that's not a role. You have a guy for a long relief. That's fine, but that's not their role. Their role was three innings because that's what they had to.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
So, and that's kind of what I was saying. That's the hard part.
Every day, and give you an inning.
Yeah.
If they feel good, they could come 4 out of 5, 3 out of 5. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But they just did that because they had to do the three innings. But, man, they were electric, man. I was so excited. I hope Matheny opened his eyes, and I really hope so, and sees what he has in the bullpen. He has gold there, man. They're going to – when Cecil comes back, I like Sheriff over Cecil. They're going to have to do something with him. That's why we're out here and there in the office, right?
So you know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going to happen with Cecil? We're going to have the same conversation that we're having right now about Carpenter and Fowler with the money. And that's why he's going to get a lot more opportunities than the guys that we're going to want to see pitch. And it's going to be because he makes, what is it, 5.5?
Well, you're going to have to lose a guy or something.
More than that.
Because it's crazy, man. I would not – look, let me tell you my bullpen, my three guys that I really, really enjoy watching pitch. It's Sheriff, Tui, and that Myers guy. You know, I really enjoy those guys pitching, man. I really do, and I like them. I haven't said it because of now. I'm saying it because from when I saw them pitch before. But holy crap, they're really, really good pitchers. I mean, and remember, we're giving them roles that they're not used to. Three innings is a really, really hard thing to do in the major leagues. And then all of a sudden you throw three innings and they send you down because you need a rest and we need a fresh arm. That sucks.
Well,
it just happens, but it sucks.
Well,
but, man, those three guys, they have an opportunity. Cardinals, Jimbo, have an opportunity to have a great bullpen if they know. And don't forget, guys, Alex Reyes is coming.
Yep.
I'm hearing more rumblings. The people, and again, I'm not saying that it'll be – people closer to the club keep saying they think he's going to be a starter.
Reyes?
Yeah.
Well, they're working him as a starter.
And that means
– like this year or
year.
In the future?
This year. This year. So,
I mean, the future, it should have been a no-brainer that he is.
No. This year.
I mean
– this year because, you know, they've been saying all
along – he's working for a start this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that tells me – I mean, let's look – I mean, if you look at the staff, the next guy I was going to bring up – number one, I hope I don't even need to bring up Carlos Martinez. He has carried an unbelievable amount of the weight. And has turned and has really just said, "Hey, I will." Has said, "Hey, look, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to carry the water here, jump on my back. So good for Carlos Martinez, no doubt. But I'll tell you what, man, the Lizard King, I mean, what a job this guy's done. This is unbelievable, the job this guy's done. What a game he pitched against the Cubs. You know, it's one thing, you know, people were questioning him and what he was and all this kind of stuff. Hey, he went out there against your biggest competitor.
Shoved
your it. And just shoved it. And I'm telling you, man, that is awesome. So, you know, the guy that everybody assumed was going to be great that has struggled is Luke Weaver. Now, do I?
He'll pick it up.
Yeah, I'm not like off of Luke Weaver. Okay, my point is, you know, you've got him, you got Wainwright, and you've got Waka to some degree that at some juncture are going to have to perform because Reyes is your future. We'll see what happens. This is going to be interesting because, you know, again, my whole point on this thing was what we're seeing with this Memphis shuttle thing. This Memphis shuttle thing we weren't used to. And I think it's going to take us some time to get used to it. But what's your comments about Reyes, Benji?
Oh, no, I was saying that, like, Reyes still, even if he's our future, he still has to come up in the big leagues and still do it.
Yes.
Yep.
Before we can, because you can, he could be the future all you want, but he gets over here, he starts struggling, he can't get people out as a starter, can't even get to the fifth inning or something like that, then we're going to have to readjust. You know what I'm saying? So even if he's the man, even if he's the guy, our guy, we still have to wait and see if they can do it in the big league level.
Well, and let's face it, he's not beyond being a part of this shuttle either. You know, if they want to control his innings and they want to give him a start and maybe send down a Weaver to let him work on. I mean, he's no stranger to this either, is my point. The old 10-day DL for Wainwright could resurface. I mean, there's a variety of reasons of how this thing could happen to control innings, get effective starts. Again, just go to the Houston Astros and see how many innings their starters threw last year or whatever you want to do. My point, and again, L.A. Dodgers, same thing. So my point,
Wainwright's almost ready to come out, right?
Yeah, I guess he threw really well yesterday, so the anticipation is that he'll throw. You know, and again, so this is all just going to take, I think, all of us some getting used to. But, you know, while doing it, and this is the thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, Benji, as I sit here and I look at it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, there's always some things that I think we can do and we can do that. But then I go and look at the standings and we're in first place.
Yep.
So we're 20-3.
You have to be freaking excited, freaking happy for it, right? I mean, it's not easy. I don't care how early it is. It's not easy to be in first place in the Central at any moment, especially this early, but it's not easy. It's not easy. And let me tell you this, Jimbo. You think about Jordan Hicks. You think about Sheriff. You think about Mayers. You think about Tui. In your bullpen, come on, man. Without counting the other guys, without saying names on the other guys, whatever they want to have or whoever it has to be there. But you just name four guys right there that could be your freaking future. They're young, man, and they can pitch.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I mean, we'll reconvene here on Thursday. I know, obviously, you'll be staying in contact with Yachty, I'm sure, for each of our episodes. Our listeners are going to want to catch up to see how he's doing, and we'll go from there. But man, I appreciate you as always with your insight. And again, for all the listeners, we've gotten so many notes to, and you've seen them. People have tagged you in some of them, but for the ones that you haven't, it is amazing how many people love him and appreciate him and want him to get better. So I'm sure you'll share that with him.
You saw that FaceTime.
Oh, that was awesome. Cool.
That was really cool. That gave me chills. That was pretty cool.
I know, me too.
The first thing that those kids did was get on the phone and put Yachty on the phone, man. And Yachty, you see the smile? That's a true freaking smile, bro. That's a true freaking teammate smile right there, man, if you notice it. It's really, really cool what they did. I didn't even think about it myself. But, man, when I saw it, I was like, holy crap, these guys are family for sure, man. These guys are battling out there together, you know?
Well, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I appreciate you, Josh Potter, Art City Media. Thanks for coming in today and I mean, you're here most of the time anyway, but officially filling in for Steve-O. I know it's a tough role to fill.
Oh, yeah.
M4byYachty.com for bringing us Benji each and every episode. Thank you so much. Our good friends, InnovativeCompanies.com. Whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, they got you covered. That's the construction team. Heating and cooling and electric, don't forget them. InnovativeCompanies.com. Ask for Randy Green. Tell him you heard him on Two Birds on a Bat. Tell him you saw him on Two Birds on a Bat enjoying his barbecue at Adam's Smokehouse. Don't forget our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse on Watson. Tremendous barbecue. You will not be disappointed. I would encourage everybody to go to our Facebook page and check out the interview both with Randy Green and Mike, and of course Benji Molina, and how much he enjoyed his time at Adam's Smokehouse. My good friend Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens, give him an opportunity for your golf business. Take advantage of this weather, folks. It's going to get real hot here soon. You need to be out there playing as much golf as you can. Hey, you can tell your wife I said so. Check it out. You're going to enjoy it greatly. TwoBirdsOnABat.com.
Three are hot.
Yeah. Right, yeah. There, not here. It's not. TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Do your shopping through Amazon. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Invite your friends to like our Facebook page. We'd appreciate it. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. LineupMedia.fm, home of the latest internet radio station, Yo Radio. Go to the App Store and download it today. It's absolutely free. You'll enjoy the content. They take your entertainment time very seriously. To my producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, thank you for all you do and all the work you do behind the scenes. It's greatly appreciated. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.